What's the meaning of the saying, the kingdom of heaven is within you? If you can't say it's within me, then who's in heaven?
And I and the Father are one.
Well, all of that.
Sure.
Well, Jesus was crucified because he said, I and the Father are one.
We see the great flood throughout all them, through a lot of the histories of many peoples around the world.
The whole thing about that great flood is a kind of puzzle. When they began investigating the actual date lines of flooding levels in Mesopotamia, they were found to be different date lines for different cities. So there's no cosmic flood, you see. The flood motif is also a mythological idea. The whole notion that all originates from water. Mm-hmm. And all is going back to water, the end, gives you a cycle, out of water, back to water, out of water, back to water. And each new cosmic eon, each new world age, is, as it were, a creation out of water and a dissolution into water. So that it's a mythological motif. It's also a psychological motif. When you go to sleep, into deep dreamless sleep, it's as though you had gone into the sea of night, and then you come out in the day. Local floods then become associated in people's associational imagination with this mythological, psychological flood. The mythological floods are found in practically every people of the world. All along the equatorial belt, up in the north, the American Indians on the Great Plains there are many, many flood stories there. And I've just run into a rather amusing context, one that I've known for a long time. The flood has come, and on a raft is Old Man, or the trickster hero, with a bunch of little animals. And to recreate the world, he sends them down to bring mud up from the bottom. Two or three of them die on the way, and finally, let's say, the muskrat comes up with a little bit of mud in his hand, and he then puts it on the water. I mean, the old man puts it on the water, pronounces magical words, and the world is brought into being. Now, that story, this that I've given with Old Man, is from the Blackfeet Indians. Throughout the plains areas, you find variants of this. Then you jump over to Siberia, and there it is there. And when you get to areas close to old Russia, you know, Christian Orthodox, East Orthodox Russia, you find the man on the raft is Christ, and the diver is the devil. He sends the devil down to get it. And when he takes the mud out of the devil's mouth, the devil holds some mud in his mouth. And Christ makes a nice smooth earth, and then the devil spits the mud out, and those are the mountains and so forth and so on. So there is a flood myth that runs all the way from Central Asia or Western Asia to the American plains. And quite a different flood story, that, from the ones that you'll find, let's say, in Australia or the Tasmanian Islands or the world of pygmy Africa.
As you're talking, I'm thinking of the feeling level and that psyche level. How in our culture we're trained to suppress that, to repress that, to oppress that, as it were. And part of that, I think, revolves around that we've somehow lost our rituals. The ritual was the place where other societies expressed their feelings. We don't have rituals anymore.
It's really astonishing how little ritual we have in our life. Even the rituals of courtesy have gone out. But the function of a ritual, a mythologically grounded ritual, is to engage you in experiencing the myth. A ritual is the enactment of a myth, either in a very literal way or in an extremely abstract way. The ritual of the sacrifice of the Mass in the Roman Catholic Church is the reenactment of the crucifixion. So you're participating in the sense of the crucifixion. And what the sense of the crucifixion is twofold. One, that the divine transcendent has come into the world and has accepted the crucifixion of life. And the other is that the individual has yielded his individual self and being to the grace of a transpersonal realization. So the cross is, as it were, the threshold of the passage of eternity into time and of time into eternity. And in participating in this, you are giving yourself to the Christ. And what the Christ is the Christ in us, namely the knower of the Father. And so understanding it in terms of its what we maybe call mythological or spiritual sense opens the image. And then it doesn't matter, I mean, whether Christ lived or not. Actually, there's no doubt about it that Jesus lived, that he was crucified, that he died and was buried. But it is a little more questionable as to whether he rose again and ascended to heaven. That doesn't matter. That's the mythological statement of the implication of giving yourself. He who loses his life shall find it, is this sense. And that's what we call the creative act, not hanging on, but yielding to the new creative yielding moment.
In this program, Joseph discusses the ultimate mystical experience, identifying with divine power, as well as the difference between ethics and religion, the rapid change in social values, the nature of demons and devils, and a great deal more. This conversation took place in 1984, when Joseph was 80 years of age. We began with a question about a quotation from the New Testament.
Joseph, you mentioned Christ was crucified because he said, I and the Father were one. Could you elucidate on that?
Well, the ultimate mystical experience is of one's identity with the divine power. That's the sense of the Chandogya Upanishad saying, Tattvamasi, you are it. That divinity which you seek outside and which you first become aware of because you recognize it outside is actually your own inmost being. Now, it's not a nice thing to say, but it's not good for religious institutions. People find that it's all within themselves. So there may be some point there about our particular situation in the West, where religious institutions have been able to dominate a society. And it's interesting how they handled this in India. The first half of one's life is spent in the society, obeying the rules, following the rules of one's caste, and worshiping the local images of the divine power. But then there comes a time when you should go into the forest. You give up your caste and everything else, and so the life is divided in half. First, the life in the society, and then the life in the forest. The problem, I think, for Western man is to have the two together so that you're living the life in the society all through your life, no quitting in midlife and going off and having the high realization, but through the actual living of your life to realize the play of the divine mystery, not only in yourselves, but through your friends and your enemies. And I think that that's the only possible meaning of Jesus saying, you know, love your enemies. He didn't say don't have enemies, but to have the compassion of recognizing the divine power in them as well as in you. And in the field of time, there's always pairs of opposites. It's got to be that way. Can't be otherwise. And to realize that's the way the one plays through the many is the trick.
As one moves through this process and sees the paradoxes and the dichotomies, particularly with contemporary religious institutions, And when one lives in American society, one hears the separation of church and state. At the same time, we now have a situation where morality and religion and politics are being wrapped up into one thing. What about that? What's going on?
It's too tight a bundle. Ethics and religion are not the same. Religion has a mystical dimension, and that's what it's really all about. Ethics has to do with social values, and religion has to do with personal inward realization.